Bay, case number 12-1870. Mr. Moran, and Mr. Moran, Judge Kaney has put in a request that everyone use the microphone so that he can hear.
Can you hear me, Judge?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Thanks. May it please the court, counsel.
Your Honors, today we have a case that's in front of the court on a 12B6 dismissal. So the standard of review is de novo. This is a case in which the initial complaint was dismissed with prejudice by the district court. It was a complaint filed under the provisions of what we call the, what some people call the McCaskill Amendment to the Stimulus Act, the American Recovery Act. That act provides a protection for reprisal against whistleblowers. It's a very powerful protection. It appears at Section 1553A of the Act, and it prohibits any private employer that receives covered funds pursuant to the ARRA from retaliating against an employee who discloses internally or externally information the employee reasonably believes constitutes evidence of one or more improper uses of stimulus funds. The case, of course, today is about covered funds, an issue that is probably less clear than it might otherwise be. We believe that the complaint in this case clearly alleges covered funds were involved, and that was done in several ways. But the most important way is that the overriding consideration for the court is that what is at issue here is data. It's not a complaint about money. This is the whistleblowing complaint had to do with the impingement on confidentiality requirements based on licenses with government agencies. What happened, as the court is probably well aware, is that Mr. Fuqua was working for a company called SFOX. This has an American branch and a Swiss corporation branch. They sent him to Switzerland to work there. He is a computational linguist and was working on devices that allow our cell phones to talk to us. He had a series of, in a long career of inventing intellectual property, and had licensed a great deal of it to various government agencies, including the Department of Defense and NIST, which is the National Institute of Standards and Technology. As far as the complaint alleges that both NIST and the Department of Defense received ARA funds, which is part of the requirement in determining whether or not covered funds were adequately alleged in the complaint. The information or the licenses that Mr. Fuqua had with the Department of Defense and with NIST involved confidentiality, and the allegations of the complaint were simply that SFOC was attempting to get confidential information from Mr. Fuqua, that he was barred from providing it by the very licenses that he had. SFOC itself had licenses from NIST, and what NIST does is it has these competitions between techies, these computer guys who build these codes and write these codes. These competitions and their results are confidential. The results of the competition are provided only to the competitor, not to anyone else. That information that SFOX demanded was included the computational results that Mr. Fuqua received from his NIST competitions, which is a violation of that license. And they knew that. They had participated themselves. These are, for background, Mr. Fuqua provided computation.
Right. I'm going to jump in here. This is all very interesting, but it doesn't really have anything to do with a claim of whistleblowing for reporting a misuse of stimulus funds, which is the cause of action here, right?
That's not the issue. The issue, the statute clearly covers
contracts. It doesn't cover just payments. And so if you buy that, then there is no that would be true. There would be no safeguard for somebody who whistleblowed about a non-federal employer who's misusing information licensed by federal agencies receiving ARA funds improperly. And that is the claim here. It's not a claim about misuse of, it's not a claim about stealing money. That, I think that's the construct that the defendant wants to put on this case. It's not about that. The statute is far broader than that. It, and when Mr., first of all, by way of background, Mr. Fuqua specifically alerted the senior management at SFOX as to what his problem was and why he felt it was illegal for SFOX to be demanding data that he had confidentiality agreements with both the Department of Defense and with NIST.
Well, how does that relate to the grant to SFOX with covered funds?
Pardon?
How does his complaint, his whistleblowing activities, relate to SFOX with covered funds? How does plaintiff's whistleblowing activities relate to any agency contract or grant to SFOX?
It relates to the license, which is a contract between SFOX and
NIST. So is
NIST.
It your position that...
which is alleged
but is it with NIST? And who's the contract with?
There's the complaint alleged two different agreements or licenses, one with NIST and one with the Department of Defense. That Mr. Fuqua had contracts with various sub-agencies of the Department of Defense, which would have been the demand by SFOX would have required him to turn over all of his confidential data to them about that. The contract he had with NIST, SFOX had a similar contract with NIST. It would require him to violate the confidentiality provisions of the NIST license. And since NIST receives an because SFOX also is a NIST licensee, it in effect is receiving the part of the ARA funds that were assigned by the federal government to NIST. There were $650 million, I believe, approximately given to NIST.
Now, your complaint doesn't plead a time frame to when SFOX acquired the linguistic data through NIST, does it? What's the time frame that SFOX received these funds or the license?
Well, Judge, when we filed the complaint, we didn't have there was no discovery in the case. I mean, it's here on a dismissal before any discovery. Obviously, I think that's a relevant question, that's one of those issues that which makes 12b-6 dismissals disfavored in this court. It's hard to gather all of that information. In particular, in this case was filed, I believe, in 2011. This particular statute was almost a blank writ. There's almost nothing written describing how or to what degree covered funds necessarily have to directly relate to the item of whistleblowing. But here, the whistleblowing was, in fact, right on point. It was, you can't do this because you're going to cause me and you yourselves to violate the provision, the confidentiality provisions relating to the intellectual property you're demanding by virtue of your licenses and my licenses with NIST, that just for one of the examples.
What were the covered funds that SFOX was receiving and allegedly misusing?
We know that they were receiving some covered funds. At this point, we don't know exactly how much they were receiving because we didn't...
What was the allegation?
Just that they were receiving covered funds. That's all that the statute requires.
Well, what were those covered funds for?
The word funds isn't limited to money. It's limited to government contracts, negotiations for contracts, and so forth. And so the license, it's the violation here is the violation of confidentiality. And that doesn't mean that Mr. Fuqua gets money out of this. This isn't a qui tam kind of case. This is a case in which he is just entitled to the benefit of the statute for reprisal, because even though the director, the vice president at SFOX, determined that he was correct, that the request was illegitimate and illegal, Mr. Fuqua was fired because he refused to turn over all of his licenses, all of his intellectual property from his entire career to SFOX management, including these DOD contracts, which have some serious repercussions. Some of those contracts are security contracts. And
how is Nuance involved in this?
Since they Nuance didn't, bought SFOX.
Well, but they didn't arrive on the scene until after all of the alleged wrongs Fuqua was claiming here, did they?
Well, they've
continuing violation theory you're trying to bring Nuance in on, or what?
Well, they, depending on the terms of the takeover, they either took over the liability or they didn't. That, again, hasn't been determined in discovery. The real question is, did we meet the liberal pleading requirements for Section 1553A, and I believe that we did. I see my lights on. If you have
any
questions, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time in response.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Mr. Ybarra?
Good morning, Your Honors. John Ybarra on behalf of all the defendants, including Nuance, SFOX AG, and SFOX USA. Your Honor, in listening to your questions to the plaintiffs, you can see what the district court was dealing with, in that plaintiff's argument only works by sort of tangling together this web of allegations that both don't comport with their complaint and don't comport with the requirements of the Recovery and Reinvestment Act. In fact, with what Your Honor asked of the plaintiffs, what were the covered funds that would allow any type of coverage by this act? Well, the plaintiff said it. The plaintiff's counsel said it. Contract with the DOD, the Department of Defense. But none of the defendants are contractees with the Department of Defense. There's no covered funds that came to us via those contracts that plaintiff alleged that he had in the complaint. SFOX didn't get any monies, didn't have any relationship with them at all. In fact, to the extent he's arguing that there was some contract or covered fund through a contract payment or otherwise with NIST, the Institute of Science and Technology, again, that wasn't any covered fund that we received, that he was arguing that we received. In fact, his licensing, the relationship, was, again, between items or devices or assets of some sort that were between, again, plaintiff and the NIST. So this only works by conflating everything and sort of creating a mishmash that would somehow create us as a recipient of covered funds. In fact, when you look at the allegations of the complaint, and to answer first, Judge Gilbert, your question with regard to when Nuance came on the scene. Nuance came on the scene a year and a half, bought SFOX AG, which owns SFOX USA, a year and a half after all this happened. They could not have been someone who misused any of the funds if there were covered funds. So we're really talking about SFOX USA and SFOX AG. Were they covered recipients? Well, we know that in order to be covered by the Act, we have to have a non-federal employer receiving covered funds. We know it can be a contract, a grant, or a payment. And we know that the focus of the statute is to get accountability with regard to transferred funds or assets. So it could be contract, a grant, or an actual payment. Judge Guzman even went to the trouble of going through Merriam-Webster's dictionary in terms of focusing on what is it that the Act was chasing down, transfer of assets in some way. So Was SFOX USA, SFOX AG, were they recipients of transferred assets, first of all?
Well, now, plaintiff pled. Just as a matter of information, how large is SFOX?
Your Honor, I cannot quote to you in terms of an actual valuation. I believe it's in the tens or perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. But plaintiff, to answer your question, Judge, in terms of was there something in the complaint that identified these covered funds? Well, there is, Judge, at paragraphs 80 through 88 of the complaint. Plaintiff alleged that there was three forms of assets. A, that we got accelerated depreciation, that we got tax credits, and we got reduced payroll taxes. That's from the complaint. None of those are obviously grants, contracts, or payments. And Judge Guzman went through that in his 12B6 item. There is no way, either on the face of the statute, case law, or common sense.
Well, don't plaintiffs acknowledge that now?
Pardon me?
Don't they acknowledge that now, that those...
Well, they do in a way, but when it comes to the questioning, it sort of gets woven back into this web of what could possibly be there. In fact, that may be part of this licensing argument that they have. Again, the licensing argument comes back to, as Your Honor tried to pull from the plaintiff, contracts with the DOD under which these top secret items are allegedly licensed. Again, we don't have anything to do with that. But the licenses themselves are not, they're not between us. They're not SFOX licenses. We don't have that relationship. In fact, the relationship or the license from the federal government or the money for that obviously goes between some federal agency and the NIST. Well, again, they're not a non-federal employer. They're an employer, so they're not covered. DOD would be, but we don't have any relationship there. Even judges, even if there were covered funds, though, received by SFOX, it goes to the question, Judge, that you asked, in terms of did he make a complaint about some fraud or some other abuse by SFOX relating to those covered funds for us? And Section 1553A makes clear that protected conduct must be that the disclosure that was protected by him has to relate to the covered funds. Well, as pled in the complaint, judges, paragraphs 46 and 47, what he was concerned about in this employment agreement that he was complaining about was that SFOX was going to violate some patent or trade secret or federal copyright law. It wasn't with regard to some misuse or abuse of funds by us. It was that he thought we would get access to these trade secret items that he essentially had invented. We don't know what those are, but it doesn't matter. Because, again, that doesn't go to a misuse or abuse of funds or contract items that we had with the federal government, the DOD certainly not, or NIST or anyone else, any other agency. And because the disclosure must relate to those covered funds under the Williams case, under the Sears case, under the face of the statute itself, we cannot be, we don't come within the mandate of the Act itself. In fact, plaintiff's purported complaint relating to these funds really does come back to NIST, as I think the plaintiff is now articulating it. And again, they're not a non-federal employer. And again, we don't have that relationship. Now, briefly, Your Honor, Judge Guzman also based part of his ruling on the fact that plaintiff failed to exhaust his administrative remedies, which would also be preclusive here. Obviously, what he's complained about to you today is this an allegation that somehow we were connected with NIST. Well, that would be the Department of Commerce. The tax issue, which I think, Judge, you're correct, they may have given up on. Well, that would go to Treasury. And yet he made this complaint to the Inspector General. He made his complaint to the Inspector General of the DOD. The DOD Inspector General did find, Your Honor, that, in fact, those weren't covered funds.
The DOD, they went ahead and processed his.
They did. They did, Your Honor. And they, in fact, they found that those were not covered funds. But, in fact, technically under the statute, they failed to exhaust administrative remedies because they are required by Section 1553 to make the complaint to the appropriate Attorney General, which would have been the Inspector General, which would have been for Treasury or Commerce. They didn't do that. In fact, they went back to DOD, which again we have no connection.
But why wouldn't DOD, if it was the wrong agency, why wouldn't they just say, we'll go to the Commerce? Why would they go ahead and process his complaint? I mean, I'm trying to, you know, I do a lot of prisoner litigation.
Yes, sir.
In the district court. And at least in 1983 prison litigation, if an inmate files a grievance not in the way that IDOC requires, but IOD considers it anyway, this court, even though this is filed in the wrong place, this court considers that exhaustion of administrative remedies is not an affirmative defense because even though the prisoner may have filed it wrong, IDOC went ahead and processed it, and this court looks at, well, he had exhausted his administrative remedies. In this case, DOD went ahead and heard his complaint.
They did, Your Honor.
So wouldn't it be analogizing it that he would have that the plaintiff would have exhausted his administrative remedies?
I don't think we'd be allowed to do that here, Your Honor, because the statute itself said it must be made to the appropriate agency. And the case law has been very clear, holding that the appropriate agency is the agency with jurisdiction over the funds that are allegedly being misused.
Well, part of the problem here is that the theory of covered funds has been kind of a moving target.
Yes, Your Honor.
And so deciding which agency IG is correct becomes a little difficult. I assume that that's why DOD went ahead and considered this, is because that was then the theory of covered funds that was being advanced.
Your Honor, you are right. Well, I think there were two factors. One, that was the theory. And number two, that was who he really had the contract with. These inventions and items that plaintiff had, they were with the DOD.
Pursuant to prior employment with a defense contractor.
Right. But I think the plaintiffs have banned that because clearly we, SFOX, never had anything to do with the DOD. We didn't receive any covered funds from the DOD, just as we haven't from NIST either. And when you look at the theories in the complaint, none of it matches up because we're clearly not a covered employer. And he clearly didn't make a disclosure about any covered funds that we would have had to misuse.
Well, just out of curiosity, what was the employment rationale for requiring him to disclose all extant IP that he held?
There isn't a record about that, but from what we can pick up, there's state court litigation here too, Your Honor, because in fact the plaintiff filed requests for arbitration back in 08 and 09 09 and 010 relating to his termination there, and then in fact got some adverse rulings, and then that's what we believe caused this filing to be pled here under the AARA in an attempt to get away from the arbitration, since it's specifically exempt from arbitration. What we know there, Your Honor, not a part of this record, is that the issues that we're having now in this litigation perhaps were seen at that point in terms of employment, because SFOX doesn't need his old inventions, but what they wanted to make clear was basically what he was working on now. That was going to, they were paying him very, very well. He was going to be a vice president. He was going to be highly compensated. They sent him to Europe, et cetera. They were going to pay him a lot of money, and they wanted to make clear that whatever he had input into, that was going to be long test box. That's really what was happening.
That was proprietary to them, but what he brought in was not.
Yeah, they really didn't care. They were going to have to draw a bright line, and they wanted that defined. For him, it became something else, perhaps, but that was really the issue there. One final point here, and that is, some points are being made by the plaintiffs that they didn't have time to fill in things. Well, first of all, this is 12B6. Judge Guzman did an absolutely appropriate job in terms of looking at the allegations as they were pled on the complaint. And here the plaintiffs really pled themselves out of, I think, compliance with 12B6. But he looked at, does this plausibly give rise to an entitlement to relief? He found that it did. They couldn't do that. So it doesn't have anything to do with the discovery. But to be fair to his honor below, in fact, he gave plenty of time to the extent they wanted to gather discovery and amend their complaint, and they sat on their hands for 3 months. They didn't issue discovery for 3 months thereafter. We did. In fact, it even resulted in sanctions. But The point is, it either has nothing to do with the complaint that's before us now, or they blew the opportunity to amend that at any point. This is through no fault of the district court below. If there are no other questions, appreciate the court's attention. Thank you.
Thank you. You've got 4 minutes in rebuttal, Mr. Moran.
Your Honors, the question here again is, what are the covered funds? That's what everybody keeps asking. Covered funds here constitutes the NIST data received by SFOX. That's the asset that they received, and that part of that asset, that data, that confidential information, is in fact partially allocated to federal funds.
How can the intellectual property be covered funds?
How can the data be covered funds? Because
you're referring to the intellectual property that the defendant was. SFOX was asking your client to disclose. Is that what you're referring to?
No, I'm talking about the licenses, the NIST confidentiality licenses. They wanted Mr. Fuqua's competition results with NIST, and they already had a license with NIST. It gives them, obviously, an unfair advantage if they know information which they otherwise are not entitled to have, for example. And that's one of the points that's very important. I just wanted to mention a couple of other things. The two cases that they refer to for the relating to covered funds must relate to the disclosure. Well, the disclosure here was pretty complete, and it's in the it's attached to the complaint that Mr. Fuqua made to management.
Are you abandoning your theory that the tax deductions were?
We abandoned that after the district court. The COBRA issue is alive, and this violation of confidentiality is one of the other claims. But the tax reimbursement for transit passes was dropped. That was never an issue on this appeal. Despite counsel's attempt to say that it is, or say that it was. Exhaustion in this district is not preclusive. Judge Gilbert made up the point, you know, it's generally speaking, you send it to the agency that's most responsible. The fact that my opposing counsel indicated it was either Treasury or Commerce indicates the difficulty in allocating or assessing which agency is supposed to be the proper agency, proper Inspector General. They made an assertion that it's very clear by the case law that you have to send it to the right Inspector General. They don't have any cases that have that statement in it. And again, the Sears case and the Williams case, those people don't even assert covered funds are involved in the case. One case, it's the person's not even an employee. Those are all in our reply brief. As far as the references to the arbitration, Mr. Fuqua did file a request for arbitration pro se after his termination for his back wages. They filed counterclaims on all sorts of other issues, which is what created the situation. And the so-called adverse ruling that he's talking about was that whether or not the commercial rules of arbitration applied, which would require Mr. Fuqua to come forward immediately with $15,000 or $16,000, hired.
This is Judge Kaney. How much was he being paid by Spovak?
By the SESFOX?
Yeah.
I think he was hired. His contract is for vice president of sales, not of technology or science, and he was getting about $145,000, I believe.
Thank you.
And the vice president. The other vice president who said that the demand by SFOX for this information was illegal and he agreed with my client was making the same amount of money. Our reply brief at page 2 lists the various allegations concerning covered funds. And at paragraph 80, we indicate that SFOX did receive covered funds as a licensee of the federal government, government-sponsored linguistic data through NIST. Thank you, Your Honors. If you have any other questions, I see my time has expired.
Thank you. Our thanks to both counsel. The case.